It's lovely to see all the faces again of people that we know, and also those visiting. Wonderful, you're really welcome. Just really want to just share a few thoughts, just very briefly though, just something on the wedding yesterday. It was a real joy yesterday at the wedding, and when I saw the bride walking down the aisle and arm in arm with the father of the bride, I got a huge sense of kind of almost a knowing and a wonderful assurance that the Lord's coming back, Christ for the church, as well as looking at, I mean, everyone looked so smart, but underneath it was just a reminder again, the Lord is coming back. He really is. I can say it categorically this morning, he's coming back. That should give us a wonderful hope, and it's hope that I just want to talk about this morning. Just to start with, I'm not sure what you've done in maybe some of your lockdown time. Many of us have gone back to work now, but it seems a little bit distant. But when I was off, I had some chance just to read. And I know my wife the other Sunday did a bit of a plug for a book. And we've been swapping books with one another. So I just want to do a little quick book plug. Is that okay? But one thing that I think the Lord's given opportunity during lockdown for us to be sharpened in some of the things that we may have not done before. And so I just want to put this book up here. It's called Stealing from God. It's by Frank Turek, and he's just a brilliant communicator. And it's about apologetics. It's about the increase of science and how it's being misused by new atheists and all the different things like that. But I've been a little bit naive over the years, possibly growing up, of not really engaging with people with actual reasoning behind what I believe and what my faith is. And I thought back to when I was 20 years old, I was working in Exeter, and I was working with some real heathen. And if you had any little bit of faith, it would be tested every day when you went into work. And I can remember facing these group of lads in a room, and I was fine to talk about football, but faith was a tough one. And I stood there and I said to them, they used to call me Jonesy, so they said, Jonesy, you've got some faith, haven't you? So I stood there, I think shaking a bit, knees trembling, and I said, I have faith, I do have faith in God. And they just absolutely tore me to shreds. And then after they'd finished, I went and just spoke to the ringleader. And I said to him, I said, Mel, do you not have any faith at all, any belief, any? And he said to me that when he was on holiday with his mum and dad and his brother, they were in a car accident in Greece. And he said that his dad was seriously injured, and he cradled his dad's head in his arms while he passed away. And it really, I didn't know what to say. I don't know if you heard last week with Brian was sharing his heart about sometimes feeling so hopeless. That was my moment of feeling so very hopeless. But it's a very real situation. They're very real, real life stories out there that people find it very hard. And then obviously just real unbelief. I'm still in contact with that guy and with the other guys that are still in Exeter. And I do pray for them. But it just got me reading a bit more over lockdown about how we reason with different people, that those that don't have faith. And let me just turn to Scripture. Whatever reason we come to, it should all be based in Scripture. And it's fine reading these books and trying to come out with clever answers, but if it's not just based in what the Lord said, then you're on a bit of a loser. And it should also be done with meekness as well. Just want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says this: But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defence to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. We've already sung this morning about In Christ alone my hope is found. He is the only one that you will find hope in. After reading these books over lockdown, the only thing I could have said to the man back in Exeter who lost his dad in the car was that if you have no belief at all in any God, then you're really, in some ways, you have no hope in an atheistic viewpoint. There is no hope. It's basically survival of the fittest. What we have in Christ is a hope that we can give to many people that we speak to. Isn't that amazing? And just to start clearly on this verse, one of the key things before we reason with people about what we believe in our faith is this: sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And I was trying to think, what does that really mean? And sanctify is this kind of separation unto God. It's an acknowledgement of God. And it said, I was just thinking about the heart, the actual organ that we all have, I believe, this morning. Do we all have one? No thumbs. Oh, there's a couple thumbs going up. It's a bit worrying. But we all have a heart, okay? And this heart is central to our being. And that's what sanctification is, central to our being. And what a heart does, it pumps around blood. It circulates blood to all our extremities, okay? And it's a vital organ, probably the most vital organ. I just think that's what sanctification is. In your heart, sanctify the Lord in your heart. It's having him in the complete centrality of your heart. And there it can just pump out, like the blood pumps out from the heart. And I think that's a wonderful picture. It really helped me understand just this verse. And it says, always be ready to give a defence to everyone who asks you. That doesn't mean that you have to give a defence every time. It says be ready to give a defence. I think we can be very quick to get straight in there with what we've maybe learnt from a book. Cause it's allowing the Holy Spirit to just know when we should say something and when we should listen and then when we should maybe talk. It says that we should be prepared to say something. Not every time, just say something. And that's really challenged me too. And that really is to give a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. When I read some of these books that I've read, it's really stirred in me a passion that when we return to some kind of normality, as Alan just said there, some kind of normality where we go back to meet with people, we may already be doing it now, I think there will be opportunities for us to actually, in all that we say, in our deeds that we do, in our actions, but actually I think it may spark something of a question in people's hearts of, what is that hope that's in you? What's the hope that's in me? How come I'm staying and keeping my eyes on the Lord that may bring some positivity, some life that really is speaking of the Lord Jesus? And I think it could lead to questions. And that's why I've put my hands up, I've been naive over the years, I've sat under hours and hours of sermons, which has been wonderful, and I've heard many things of intricate parts of the Bible, but part of me has been missing this thing of actually being able just to reason with people and give evidence as to what I believe. Evidence that's written in the New Testament, in the Gospels, about the resurrection. Probably the biggest part of evidence that we have as Christians is the resurrection account. It's incredible. As Paul says, without that, basically our faith is futile. Just want to encourage you, we must be bold in these days. I've had to learn things that I don't find easy to learn, but I can feel I can actually just listen and talk, maybe now with work colleagues, about creation. The book that I've been reading, Stealing from God, some of the chapters in it talk about morality. Where's morality from? It's from God. If you don't believe in God, then where is morality from? It cannot be from a bunch of molecules that me and you are. Where's evil from? And science. I just want to quote something from the guy that I'm reading here about science. One of the things that I'm sure probably Richard's aware of and others maybe in schooling is the rise of science. And I think almost that so many new atheists hide behind science. And Frank Turek, a little quote from him, he says, to say that a scientist can disprove the existence of God is like saying a mechanic can disprove the existence of Henry Ford. It doesn't follow. It really made sense to me that there's many things out there they cannot disprove God. He's alive, he's living. just a wonderful truth. Earlier in Paul, in Peter's epistle, in 1 Peter it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope," or living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I just find it so enlivening this morning, even just to have communion with you and to sing the songs that we've sung, is that we have an incredible lively hope that we can share with different people. You may feel totally hopeless, like I did when I spoke to the guy at my work, and I've had other occasions when I have not found the words at all. But during lockdown, I've just thought about another little thought about the armour of God. We know the armour of God, the helmet, the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield. And then I thought about the sword. I often possibly neglect the sword slightly, the word of God, the spirit, the sword of the spirit, and how maybe as we come back out from a lockdown, I wonder if we maybe need to use the sword a little bit. I don't want to kind of sum up reasoning with different people, but it is, in some ways, it's really just knowing scripture. Jesus, when he was tempted, went back into the Old Testament to say scripture, and others gave account of scripture too. And I've just been really quickened by it, because I think there'll be people out there with many questions. Just moving on. This, don't know if you want to just come with me, I've got this verse in Acts chapter 17. Just come with me. This is just a real illustration of, gives an illustration of Paul. And Paul's at Thessalonica. And we'll just catch up in verse 2, and it says this. "Then Paul, as his custom was," I love this, "as his custom was," I think where Paul went, Paul just spoke Christ and he lived him out. He said, "As Paul, as his custom was, went into them," and he went, that was, "into the synagogue of the Jews, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" I just want to pick up on three things in those verses. First one, he went in and he reasoned with them, the scripture. Just remember the verse that I said at the beginning. It said that they did it with meekness and fear. I think there can be a tendency to get a little bit possibly aggressive, or a little bit, this is my, I know it all, or I have this kind of, like I said earlier on, I've read these books and now I'm very accomplished. And it's not, I find that the Lord was, he did it in meekness and fear. And I think that leads to more conversation. It's part of listening to people, listening maybe to their hurts. So that's one thought, that thought of just reasoning with people. The next one is this here. It says, explaining. What are we like in explaining about what we believe in? What's the hope in our hearts? How do we explain that to one another? I mean, that's a real question. So you've got reason. You've got to explain it. And then also demonstrate it. How do we demonstrate the hope that is in us? I've probably missed out asking you the question. I was going to say it right at the start. And that really was, what's the hope in your heart? And do you have that hope in your heart today? And these three things are just key to how we share this hope with all the people that we meet. One thing, reason, explain it and demonstrate it. You know that when you get asked for your hope, I'm thinking here, maybe some of the young people, when you engage in university, some of you may be going now, or colleges, maybe a new chapter in your life, you may be asked about your faith and where your hope is placed. I just want to read a little story of a young lad called Nathan. And this really, this spoke to me. Meet Nathan. He went to Swansea University last year to study maths. During his first week, he trialled for the university football team, along with nearly 200 other freshers. At the end of the trial, Nathan was ranked in the top five of those trialling. He's an extremely good footballer, on the books for Cardiff City. So when the first team was announced, there was no surprise that he'd been chosen in the university first 11. In the run-up to the first game, he was told he first needed to be initiated into the squad, which involved getting blind drunk along with the rest of the lads. Now Nathan is a Christian, and so he refused. And so he was dropped. And when the team lists were announced for the first game of the season, he had been put in the university seventh team. Following Jesus is costly. How do you stand for Jesus in that kind of situation, is my question. Come on, Nathan, no one's ever going to hear of a fresher making the university squad. Here's a chance for you to play for the first. What's one wild night out with the boys between friends? And I just read that story, a little illustration of that you will be put in positions where you'll have to stand for your faith. I just want to encourage you, it doesn't matter if you're younger, whether you're older, even this morning, whether you're possibly on the fringes, maybe your faith is kind of wavering. Can I just say this morning that there is incredible hope that's in Jesus Christ. And Nathan, I'd like to meet the young guy and just almost, I'd have to keep socially distanced maybe, but just want to hug him and say, oh, what a stand that young man made. I wonder that we maybe need some, as a church, as the church, just a new boldness to go out and meet with people, reason with them. I was just thinking about a telephone conversation I had with someone recently, a young man, and he shared all the things that are in his life, and it was a complete mess of a life, complete mess, but there wasn't in some ways a wanting for that life to be changed. But I realised after I again put the phone down and felt hopeless again, but I realised that in some part of it, that when you're listening to someone sharing their heart and the issues that they are, I think the Lord is also on that conversation. He's on that telephone call, and I think that he then can go to work when you just put the phone down and feel hopeless. Can I just say that? That may be an encouragement to one of you here this morning, but it's in that when you put the phone down, the Lord is working. He's doing the groundwork. I'm going off a little bit here, but just want to bring a sense of hope. I just want to read you another scripture. This is in Romans chapter 1. I mean, the more I read about the state of atheists or new atheists in the world at the moment, it's alarming that this is actually what's being driven through schools. This is what's being driven through social media, and also watching what I used to think was just wonderful, watching David Attenborough. And then when you actually get more of an understanding of his worldview, you start thinking, oh my goodness. But it makes you really fervent to kind of get the truth out there. Just let me read these scriptures here in Romans. This kind of gives a flavour of really what is happening in society. Now, where are we? Chapter 1. Now, here is God's wrath on unrighteousness. Chapter 1, verse 18. These scriptures really are incredible. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that suppressing the truth. It's happening across the board in many aspects, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. That's incredible. Being understood by the things that are made. That's you, that's me, that's animals, that's creation. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I've had to reread these verses over and over to, in my little simple brain, to realise that this is the state of the world. And this is how I believe that we have to engage and reason and try to actually come across with truth, evidence-based truth of what we believe. Let me just pick out a few things here. It says that the suppressing of the truth. When I read these verses here, I think that we know that we are all created by God. We're all humans. I guess that you're all alive there now. We're all alive and kicking. And I think we're actually made with a capacity for all kinds of things. There's morality, there's breathing, there's exercises, there's all kinds of things. There's a capability in us, I think, that where we actually almost want to worship our Creator, or we want to know that we actually are made. And I think that's what's being so suppressed in our age at the moment. It really is. And it's almost there's a massive dulling of hearts. Because they, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. That's happening right now. And their foolish hearts were darkened. If ever we need hope in the world now, within the church, within the body, it's now. If ever we need a beacon of light, it's now. And I just feel so energized with you. I trust with you that we just want to engage with more people. I'm just so thankful for the Lord that it's his armor that I described earlier on in Ephesians. It's not something I have to work up for or attain, polish my shield and do all that. It's not. It's God's given it. We can put it on. We can stand. We can have that conversation and possibly feel hopeless after, but know this, that the Lord was listening in and he can do the miraculous things. Just want another little thing, some evidence-based things here. I just want to just say about a psalm that really just speaks about the Lord. It says this in Psalm 19, that the heavens act as an apologist for God without saying a word. You can read this scripture. The skies and all of creation declares the majesty of the Creator. Continuously, night after night and day after day, the heavens reveal God exists. Just read it to yourselves. I won't go through it now, but Psalm 19 in the first few verses, it basically cries out that there's a God. And this is what so many people are choosing just to ignore. Just something else that spoke to me, another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You don't need to turn there, but it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Once you start reading some of these books and matching it and being sort of underpinned with scripture, I think it does give you in some ways a sort of a new energy to actually feel that you can talk with people. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but I think for so many years I kind of felt slightly naive on these things of how to reason, how to go along with the evidence that and if you've been brought up in a Christian household, which I was, and I feel very blessed by that, in some ways from such a young age and listening to so much ministry, huge amounts of it was just the listening, and I was, you'd be like a sponge and you'd take it in and you'd listen. And when I was a younger boy, the sermons were longer, which I don't hold anything against. I was just very blessed. But in some ways, I think sometimes the Lord, and how Paul described it, he listened, he reasoned, then he had a chance to explain. And then after that, he had another chance to demonstrate it. And I think that is what the Lord so wants from his church. I don't know if I can see a few heads nodding, but I really believe it. Just the thing of you soak up the word of the Lord, and then it permeates in you like in the heart, the central part of you where you're sanctified in this heart. And then the heart just pumps out the blood, and it goes around and it can be shared out to that's probably not a great analogy to share out anyway, but you know what I'm saying. It just goes out to people. And just this morning, just want to encourage us. It talks in Isaiah that the Lord reasoned with Israel. He actually has made us able to reason with one another. That doesn't mean that you have to argue with people. It's not that. It doesn't mean you have to apologize for your faith. Now, when you think of apologetics, you think, oh, I've got to apologize. It doesn't mean that. It means just giving a reason for the evidence that's there. And I just think, now is the time, and now's the time for me to not keep things just so down and hidden. But let's tell the Lord that we do, you know, tell people that we believe in the resurrection. It's one of the biggest things that's really just caught me, is all the evidence that's listed for the resurrection, the eyewitness account. There's no conspiracy. A lot of things these days is driven by conspiracy. We have to be careful as Christians that we don't get caught up too much in that. If we come away too much, then it starts, our ears become a little bit twitching about different things that we could hear. It should be grounded in scripture. It really should. And from there, we can find our reason, our rationale, our morality is there, and all of it underpinned by love. But I'm just drawing to the end now. I don't want to go on for too long. And I get, in some ways, I'm not going to apologise, but it does stir some passion that's directed in the right way. And it's something that I feel very passionate about, the rise of scientism in schools in the world, and you're bombarded on social media. And now BBC programmes by it. We mustn't forget that the underpinning truth behind it is that we have an incredible creator God. We tend to worship the creatures rather than the creator. We mustn't forget that. Wonderful Lord. I just want to bring it to an end. Is that okay? Maybe being a bit different this morning. I know I've been in scripture, but really just the heart's cry is, I trust that in the times that you've had in lockdown, and I know it's still continued, but I've wanted to use it in a way where I wanted to be sharpened in areas that I so lacked and I still lack. But not to waste time, read up on things, start to want to engage with people, listen. And even I was thinking about even the young people that possibly are even present now. They've been without meeting up in a church body. There may be time that we need to actually recultivate things with young people, with young adults, because the world is not stopping in there. Onslaught of secularism and everything is based on science. We need to almost come back afresh and say the Lord is alive. He's our hope. The resurrection is true. Our hope is firmly placed in Christ alone. Just want to encourage you this morning. I'll just pray just to close. Is that okay? Lord, thank you that you've given each of us, Lord, and all those in your body, the church, a capability, Lord, to, Lord, give a reason for the hope that's in us. And that is Christ and Christ alone, him crucified, him resurrected, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you that we can do it in such simple ways. We don't need to, Lord, read so many books and have all the perfect answers, but Lord, thank you that we can just say from our heart, Lord, that there is this incredible evidence. We have it all in your wonderful word, Lord. That's why, Lord, it's described as living, Lord. It's a living reason, Lord, to talk to people. Lord, thank you that we can explain it, Lord. Lord, depending on what age group we talk to, we can explain it in different ways, Lord, that children understand, Lord, youth, young adults and older people. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we can demonstrate it. We can demonstrate this hope in our lives, Lord Jesus. I pray for us all. Lord, as we are on this weekend now, maybe we're returning to work. Those returning to school this week, Lord, stir up in our young people again fresh faith. Lord, fresh power, fresh vision, Lord Jesus. Lord, those that maybe have struggled over this time of not being together, Lord, I pray that the wonderful agent, the Holy Spirit, can come. Lord, it says in Romans, it can come, Romans 15, it can come and be the agent to stimulate again, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that for all our young people, young adults. Lord, for those, Lord, in our group, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, have just, even through ill health, have just so suffered not being together. Lord, when we do meet together, Lord, I pray, Lord, a real pouring out of your Spirit. Lord, I pray you just help us in all our conversations. Lord, and when we can sing together in the flesh again, Lord, I've so missed it, Lord, that you, Lord, really bind our hearts together. Lord, we love you this morning, worship you. Thank you for all that's gone on this morning, and Lord, thank you for yourself, Lord. Lord, we're full of gratitude. Precious Lord, amen.